الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون. صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: ما من أحد يتوضأ فيحسن الوضوء ثم يصلي ركعتين يقبل بوجهه وقلبه عليها إلا وجبت له الجنة، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected ulama ikram, elders, beloved brothers in Islam, this period of the Islamic calendar, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once again has blessed us with the opportunity of experiencing, is indeed an extremely significant, auspicious part of the year, and a clear and a living testimony to the extent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's maghfirat, forgiveness, the love which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for this insan, the desire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to create opportunities for us to gain His nearness and to correct our ways. The period I am referring to actually occurs from the month which has already passed, which is Rajab, thereafter is Sha'ban, then is Ramadan, and the Ayyam-e-Hajj. How auspicious, how significant this period is can easily be gauged by the dua which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make at the onset of Rajab, wherein he used to say, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. That, O Allah, bless us, give us barakat in Rajab and Sha'ban, and cause us to remain alive to experience the beautiful and auspicious month of Ramadan. Unfortunately, to a very large extent, we find that many of us have become seasonal Muslims. We have become those who on special or on auspicious occasions, we exert ourselves in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And once that period, once that Mubarak occasion, once that big night, once that auspicious occasion has passed, then we revert back to the lifestyle that we were living before. And we wait for the next Mubarak occasion. For example, Jummah Salah. Every week, Allah Ta'ala has given us an opportunity to gain forgiveness. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Al-Jumu'atu ilal Jumu'ah, that one Jummah Salah to the next Jummah Salah, and 3 days beyond that, for 10 days, all the minor sins are forgiven, if the etiquette of this occasion of Jummah is observed. The question we have to ask ourselves, my respected brothers, such sweeping and open declarations of Allah's willingness to forgive, does that constitute a license for us to disobey Allah rest of the week? Allah is Ghafoorur Rahim. Allah is very forgiving. Allah is very merciful. In fact, earlier this week, when we were on Gush, we met one brother. He went into a long discourse that what is wrong with the Molisabs of today? What is wrong with the ulama of today? Why are you telling us about the azab of Allah? Why are you telling us about the punishment of Allah Ta'ala? Tell us of His mercy. Tell us of His forgiveness. Definitely, that is a need, that is a requirement. But my respected brothers, since when has it become a license for us to disobey Allah? Jummah Salah, the masjid is packed. Very often I give this example, as you're leaving the masjid, just whisper into somebody's ears, that by next week, Jummah Salah, are you coming? He'll tell you, how can you insult me and ask me such a question? Of course I'll be here for Jummah Salah. I'm a believer, I'm a Muslim. Then in a softer tone, ask the same person, by Asr Salah, are you coming to the masjid? They will say, Inshallah, make dua, I'm weak. As if only Jummah Salah is farz. Yes, the reward of Jummah is multiplied. But that does not make the Asr Salah maaf. That does not make the other farais of deen maaf. Big nights have come, big nights our masjids are full. The month of Rajab that has passed, generally remembered and denoted by that great mu'jiza and miracle which distinguished and very, very clearly showed to the entire humanity the mantle of status and dignity and honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had bestowed His beloved Habib Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam with. Wherein, even on that occasion, that distinction which only he had, which was reserved exclusively for him, which no other Nabi of Allah was entitled to, when he said, Ana Nabiyul Anbiya, I am the Nabi of every Nabi of Allah also. This on Mi'raj was shown, when in Baytul Muqaddas, the 2 rakat salah was performed, the Muqtadis were the galaxy of Anbiya alayhi musallatu wassalam, and the Imam was Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Such a journey Allah Ta'ala took him on. We've heard the detailed tafsir, just one or two aspects I'm going to mention because it's not my intention on this occasion of Jumu'ah to go into the details of Mi'raj. Our masajid last week Friday we would have heard what brought about the Mi'raj. Ulama say that it was consolation. Allah Ta'ala was consoling His Nabi. Very, very significant and hurtful events had just occurred. Mi'raj took place, according to majority of the scholars, after the period that is referred to as Amul Huzn. The year of grief, the year of lamenting, the year of sorrow for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. On the one hand, that pillar of support, Abu Talib, who had left no stone unturned in protecting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his death occurred. Abu Talib, that in itself is another discussion. That despite the service that he did for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his death on the words "Ala Dini Abdul Muttalib," that I am dying on the Deen of Abdul Muttalib, which will result in him remaining in Jahannam forever and ever. Each time that mort is mentioned, it is a reminder for us as to how much we have to appreciate this ni'mat and this bounty of iman which Allah has given us. With the same Abu Talib. He said, وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ بِأَنَّ دِينَ مُحَمَّدٍ. He said, فَاسْدَعْ بِأَمْرِكَ لَمْ تُسِبْكَ صَبَابَةٌ وَلَقَدْ صَدَقْتَ وَكُنْتَ قَبْلُ أَمِينًا. وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ بِأَنَّ دِينَ مُحَمَّدٍ مِنْ خَيْرِ أَدْيَانِ الْبَرِيَّةِ دِينًا. لَوْلَا الْمَلَامَةُ أَوْ حَذَارَ مَسَبَّةٍ لَوَجَدْتَنِي سَمِحًا بِذَاكَ مُبِينًا. He said, oh my beloved nephew, continue with what you are doing. With this da'wah, with this invitation, with this calling humanity to Allah, no harm will come to you. Why you are truthful, and you have always been truthful. And then Abu Talib, who died on kufr, says, I know in my heart that the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the best of every religion. If it were not for the fear of the taunts of the women of Quraysh, that out of the fear of death I accepted this deen, I also would have openly recited your kalima. His mort on kufr is a constant reminder for us to value this ni'mat of iman. Abu Talib one hand, the other hand the incident of Taif, What suffering didn't the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam undergo for the sake of the hidayat of the summat? Then on the other hand, another pillar of support, that mountain of steadfastness which Allah had blessed him with, his blessed wife, Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. A woman of such stature, that Bukhari Sharif riwayat, on one occasion, Jibreel comes and presents himself to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, Khadija is on her way to you. She is carrying some food for you. She has suffered greatly for the sake of your deen. Allah has sent me to convey his salams to Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. And has sent me with a message that, oh my beloved Nabi, give Khadija consolation that she is suffering here for the sake of your deen. Her home had been emptied. Hunger, starvation had befallen the richest woman in Makkah for the sake of the hidayat of this ummah, so that you and I today can be reciters of kalima. She has suffered greatly. Tell her that her home in Jannat has already been prepared for her. La sakhaba fihi wa la ta'ab. There she will know no hardship and no difficulty. Khadija's demise, Abu Talib's demise, incident of Taif, a mountain of difficulties had fallen on the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the sake of the hidayat of this ummah. So as consolation, Allah Ta'ala calls him on Mi'raj. What is this distance? We are normally fascinated by what the scientists tell us. Just very briefly, it is the sun, which is visible to us 93 million miles away from the earth. The sun is approximately 325,500 times the size of the earth. It is just one star. In that star, which is not firm, it's a collection of gases. Every second, 614 billion tons of hydrogen gas is converted into 612 billion tons of helium gas. This conversion brings about a chemical reaction which causes energy and heat to be released equivalent to 500 million atom bombs exploding at one time. The sun is just one star. This galaxy in which we reside, there are 200 billion stars. Many of them several times the size of the sun. This galaxy which we live in is called Milky Way. It is a conjunction of 17 galaxies, what we call a super galaxy. This distance is so vast that it is said that if you travel from one point at the speed of light, 186,282 miles per second. If you travel at that speed, it will take you 2 million years just to finish this galaxy. And there are 500 million other such galaxies. According to a report published by NASA in 1980, they say of the universe, what is visible is only 3%. 97% is not even visible. It is referred to as the black hole. Just the 3% that is visible, they estimate. There are so many stars that if 1 second, how long is 1 second? 1 second is given to name each star, it will take 300 trillion years just to name the stars. Such a vast expanse, the mind cannot comprehend. On one occasion, Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi mentions this riwayat. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed his companions. Hal tadruna kam bayna as-samai wal-ard? O my sahaba, do you know the distance between the earth and the heavens? They were not like us. Despite having minimal intelligence, proud of our intelligence, making claims which we have absolutely nothing to support with. With them, it was amanna, saddaqna, one voice. They said, Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam. Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam know best. What is this distance? He said, baynahuma masiratu khamsi mi'ati sana. From the earth to the first heaven is a distance of 500 years. Not our years. وَإِنَّ يَوْمًا عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ كَأَلْفِ سَنَةٍ مِمَّا تَعُدُّونَ One day by your Rabb is 1,000 years of this life. 500 such years. وَمِنْ كُلِّ السَّمَاءٍ إِلَى السَّمَاءٍ مَسِيرَةُ 500 سَنَةٍ Between each of the seven heavens, a distance of 500 years. فَوْقَ السَّمَاءِ السَّابِعَ بَحْرٌ بَيْنَ أَسْفَلِهِ وَعَلَاهُ مَسِيرَةُ 500 سَنَةٍ Above the seventh heaven is a sea from the top to the bottom of it, another 500 years. ثُمَّ فَوْقَ ذَلِكَ ثَمَانِيَةُ أُعَالٍ Then above that are eight angels. وَيَحْمِلُ عَرْشَ رَبِّكَ فَوْقَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ ثَمَانِيَةٌ The eight angels that are holding aloft the arsh of Allah, they are not in the shape of human beings, they are in the shape of mountain goats. How vast! بَيْنَ رُكَبِهِنَّ وَأَذْلَافِهِنَّ مَسِيرَةُ 500 سَنَةٍ Between the knee and the ankle of each of these angels is a distance of 500 years. Muslim Sharif riwayat, أُذِنَ لِي أَنْ أُحَدِّثَ عَنْ مَلَكٍ مِّن مَلَائِكَةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ مِنْ حَمَلَةِ الْعَرْشِ أَنَّمَا بَيْنَ شَحْمَةِ أُذُنِهِ إِلَى عَتِقِهِ مَسِيرَةُ 700 سَنَةٍ Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, May Allah gave me permission to tell you of one of those angels holding aloft his arsh between the earlobe and the neck is the distance of 700 years. ثُمَّ عَلَى ذُهُورِهِمُ الْعَرْشِ Then on their backs is the arsh of Allah. What must be the majesty? What must be the kibriyai? What must be the jalal? What must be the azmat of that Allah who has created all this? What must be the status, the position of that zat and that personality? Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who in the space of one night, a portion of one night, is taken through this entire distance. Beyond the Sidratul Muntaha, that point which even Jibreel could not venture further. What was the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Qazi Ayaz rahimahullah in his Shifa, he mentions the riwayat that when Shaqq Sadr, the miraculous opening of the chest of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which took place a few times in his life, one when he was in an infant. In the care of Halima Sa'diya radiallahu ta'ala anha, playing in the field, angels came down, they laid this baby down, and they opened up his chest. His heart was cleansed, was bathed. In the riwayat it is mentioned, when they looked at his heart, and they saw the nuraniyat of it, the angels underwent a discussion. They said, قَلْبٌ وَكِيعٌ أَيْ شَدِيدٌ What a heart this is. Zinhu bi asharatim min ummatihi. Let us compare this heart with 10 of the hearts of his ummat. They found that this heart was mightier, was weightier. They said, let us compare it with 100. They found the nuraniyat of this heart to be even greater. They said, let us compare it with 1,000 of humanity. The response came back, this heart has more nur, has more strength, has more quwwat than 1,000 people put together. Then Jibreel said, why are you wasting your time? Place the hearts of every human being that ever lived on the earth on one side, compare it to the heart of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Put together, the nuraniyat of all those hearts will not equal the nuraniyat of this one heart. What must have been that heart? That Jibreel who from his head to his toenail is the distance of 14,000 years. 600 wings, one wing will blot the east, one wing will blot the west. He says, beyond the Sidratul Muntaha, I also cannot go. What must have been the capacity of the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to bear that nuraniyat? That he went even beyond that point. Under the tafsir of the verse, فَكَانَ قَابَ قَوْسَيْنِ أَوْ أَدْنَى Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma mentions the riwayat. Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I went further and further. Faraqani Jibreel. Jibreel left me also. In qata'atil aswat. There was total silence. I had reached a point no insan, jinnat or farishta had reached. There was total silence. All of a sudden, fasami'tu kalama rabbi. I heard my Allah speaking directly to me. لِيَهْدَأْ رَوْعُكْ Oh, my beloved, do not fear. Do not fear. Let your heart be at ease. Ya Habibi, udnu minni. Ya Habibi, udnu minni. Ya Habibi, udnu minni. Oh, my beloved, come even closer. Come even closer. Come even closer. A conversation took place. This occasion of Jummah, impossible to go into details, the crux. He said, Oh my Allah, Alanta li Dawood al-Hadid, wa ahyayta li Isa al-Mawta, wa sakharta li Sulaiman al-Riyaha wa shayateen, wa ataytahu mulkan la yanbaghi li ahadin min ba'dihi, wa kallamta li Musa taklima, wa ataytahu mulkan azeema. Oh my Allah, You softened lead for Dawood alayhi salam. You spoke directly to Musa alayhi salam. You subjugated the jinnat and the shayateen for Sulaiman alayhi salam and gave him a kingdom the like of which no one else will see. You brought the dead to life for Isa alayhi salam. فَمَاذَا جَعَلْتَ لِي Oh my Allah, what did you give me? Allah addresses him. I'm cutting the riwayat short. أَوَلَيْسَ قَدْ أَعْطَيْتُكَ أَفْضَلَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ كُلِّهِ Oh my beloved, have I not given you better than all this? أَمَّا أَنْتَ For you, first exclusivity, Musa كَلِيمُ اللَّهِ Isa رُوحُ اللَّهِ Adam نُوح صَفِيُّ اللَّهِ Ibrahim Khalilullah, but for Muhammad, Amma Anta Fahabibullah. This title, Habibullah, the beloved of Allah, has been reserved only for you. Walla dhukirt, illa dhukirta ma'i, and from now till Qiyamah, my name will not be taken, except that your name will be taken with my name. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Look at the cognizance which Quran gives to us. The name of Allah with the name of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, never to be separated. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, aminu billahi wa rasulihi. When Allah speaks of iman, when Allah speaks of kufr, kafaru billahi wa rasulihi. When Allah speaks of bara'at, bara'atun min Allahi wa rasulihi. When Allah declares in hajj, adhanun min Allahi wa rasulihi. When Allah speaks of obedience, wa may yuti'i Allaha wa rasul. When Allah speaks of disobedience, wa may ya'si Allaha wa rasul. Wa may yushaqiqi Allaha wa rasul. Wa may yuhadid Allaha wa rasul. Allah, His Rasul. Allah, His Rasul. These two names together, till Qiyamah, never ever to be separated. Such a personality, Allah ne apne Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam ko Mi'raj par bulaya, apne qareeb kiya, phir kya diya, kis cheez ke saath wapas aaya, Mi'raj ka paigham kya tha, Mi'raj ka hadiya kya tha. He called him, showed his distinction, then gave him something. He came back from this Mi'raj with something. We have become an ummat. Mi'raj is bayans of Mi'raj. Mi'raj is one night where we come to the masjid. Shab-e-Barat in Shaban is one night. Laylatul Qadr, one night. But what is the peygham behind it? What is the message behind it? What was the significance of Mi'raj? What did he come back with? Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah says, Lil abdi bayna yaday illahi mawqifan. For the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his life there will be two mirages. There will be two mirages. Such a distance he traversed, Allah gave him something, a pull, a medium, a bridge. That when you stand on that musalla and you say Allahu Akbar, like the poet says, فَمَنْ قَامَ لِلْتَكْبِيرِ لَاقَتْهُ رَحْمَةٌ وَكَانَ كَعَبْدٍ بَابُ مَوْلَاهُ يَقْرَعُ وَصَارَ لِرَبِّ الْعَرْشِ حِينَ صَلَاتِهِ نَجِيَّا فَيَا تُوبَاهُ لَوْ كَانَ يَخْشَعُ. He says, when you say Allahu Akbar, it is as if you have knocked at the door of Allah. You are transported to the chamber of Allah. وَصَارَ لِلَبِّ الْعَرْشِ حِينَ صَلَاتِهِ نَجِيَّا. You are communicating directly with Allah, like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke directly to Allah in Mi'raj. If only you would be attentive in that salah. Ibn al-Qayyim says there are two occasions when the slave of Allah presents himself in the court of Allah. The first occasion is in salah. The second occasion is on the day of judgment. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ. When not your father or your mother or your wife will want to know you. فَمَنْ قَامَ بِحَقِّ مَوْقِفِ الْأَوَّلِ. Fulfill the haq, the right of the first standing, this five times salah, and the second standing will be made easy for you. If you fail with this first standing, shuddid alayhi dhalika al-mawqif, then that second standing will be made difficult for you. What has become the attitude of the ummah today? 95% of the believing ummah has turned its back on the gift of Mi'raj. Our masjids are empty, illa mashallah. And what is the excuse? Allah is Ghafoorul Rahim. One or two incidents on which I will terminate. What better example can we give than that of that family who had the blood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam flowing in their veins? Ale Rasul, Ale Rasul. Such a maqam they enjoyed. Ibn al-Jawzi rahimahullah, an alim of the 5th century of Islam, in his Kitab al-Birri wa Sila, he mentions one incident. He says in Khurasan, there was one family, Ali Rasul, Ahl Bayt, husband passed away, the widow and two children. Poverty befell them. They made hijrat to Samarkand. They went to the governor of Samarkand and asked him for assistance. She said, I am from Ali Rasul. He said, where's the proof? Bring proof. Everyone comes here and says, they're Ali Rasul. Bring proof, then I will help you. She heard of a Parsi, a fire worshipper that was generous. Went to him. He opened his house to her. That night, the governor of Samarkand sees a dream. Beautiful palace in Jannat. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam standing at the entrance. Ya Rasulullah, I want to enter. Whose home is this? He says, this is the home of a believer. He says, I am a believer. I am your ummati. I am your follower. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to him, bring proof. Bring proof. My daughter came to you. You asked for proof. Now you bring proof. When he wakes up, he rushes to the home. Makes inquiry. Rushes to the home of that Parsi. He is the ruler. This is the subject. What does the subject say? Ye soda dekhne ke baad nahi hote hai. After seeing the sale doesn't take place. Take everything of mine, but this family I will not give you. When I open the door to this family, Allah opened the door of the heart, my heart, and the heart of my entire family for hidayat. They entered my home in the evening. By the morning we were mu'min. That dream you saw, I saw the same dream. I was given that palace. That family, it is the boiling sands of Karbala. The day of Jumu'ah, surrounded 17 flowers, 17 Ali Rasul, the leader Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. He sends a message with Zuhair bin Qayn, the right hand flag bearer, asking Shimmer permission to make their salah, hold the battle. What is the response? Shimmer says, tell him his salah is not accepted. Zuhair bin Qayn says, Mal'oon, that family which gave you salah, their salah is not accepted and your salah is accepted. When this message was given, he divided his 72 companions. Half faced the enemy, half made their salah. The other half faced the enemy, the other half made their salah. There was no water, the water had been cut off. The wudu of that salah was made in their own blood. The sajda which he performed that day, by Asr he had become shaheed.
The sajda of that salah, it is doubtful till qiyamah if another sajda like that would have been made. Yet in those circumstances also, the salah was not made qaza. The salah was not made qaza. Amr bin As radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, on this incident I will terminate. Facing the Coptic Christians, 5 years the battle raged. Message came from them, hold the battle for 3 days. Friday is your day. Saturday is the day of the Jews. Sunday is the day of the Christians. We'll resume fighting on Monday. Sahaba accept the truce. They start the salah. Imam is Amr bin As radiallahu anhu. The Christians break the truce. They attack from behind, start cutting the heads of Sahaba off in that salah. Tariq, history bears witness, in 5 years of battle, more Sahaba became shaheed in that one salah than in 5 years of battle. Two entire serfs were made shaheed, yet not one Sahabi broke his salah. Sahaba that day martaba, all the ghos, all the kutub, all the abdal of this world put together cannot equal the dust of the shoe of one sahabi also. They didn't know Allah is Ghafurur Rahim. They didn't know Allah is forgiving and merciful. Why was the salah not made qaza? It is a message for this ummah, that college student who for his degree is making his salah qaza. That tourist or reveler who for some game or match makes his salah qaza. That person who for a paltry wage is slaving from morning till night, azan falls on deaf ears. Take the peygham and the message of Miraj. Accept the hadiya of Miraj. We are not an ummah of occasions. Understand the message behind the occasion. Bring salah in our life. Then we have appreciated the Miraj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Otherwise, my respected brothers, we can get together how much we want, make as much bayans as we want, but till the reality doesn't enter our life, we have not understood the peygham and the message and the value behind the qurbani of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq wa afiyat.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.